This week, Joyce and I will be in Tennessee for a little bit. We've decided to do not the trip for Thanksgiving to see family, but wait until the week after. And it was a good thing that we did because my stepdad came down with COVID last week and ended up in the hospital, so they didn't meet at all as a family, so we'll get to have Thanksgiving this week. So we look forward to that trip. And we will miss a number of things that happen here, but you'll see in the announcements, I didn't mention a lot of events that are there that happen even in the new year. So please check your bulletin and the announcements carefully and take the cards off the table in the back because we don't want to miss you at all during this season. And invite a friend. The sermon title is a bit unusual. It's a little cute. It's entitled No Shoats or Geep, and I'll explain that in the course of the message. At one point, I had simply written the title down, Be Ready, because this particular teaching of Matthew 25 comes after Jesus teaches about his coming again and calling us to be ready. There's some unique stories that take place right before Matthew 25. I also thought about the title, You Better Be Good and You Better Watch Out, and I think that would have fit for this message as well. But Matthew 25 is a passage I'm focusing on this morning. I'm reading from the Old Testament as well. I think that's a good match that the lectionary gives us for this particular Sunday. This Sunday is known as Christ the King Sunday. It's the last Sunday in the cycle of the Christian year called Pentecost, and next Sunday begins the Christian year all over again with the first Sunday of Advent. And on the last Sunday of Pentecost is the emphasis of Christ's return in glory. And you'll see that played out in the message this morning. So the first reading is a passage from the Old Testament, Ezekiel chapter 34. I begin reading at verse 11. This is about God who is the true shepherd. It's the image of God here who gathers. And that's very important in the way it's matched with the New Testament reading. The image of a God who gathers those who stray. He gathers the lost. He gathers the injured. He gathers the weak. And so listen to God's word at verse 11. For thus says the Lord God, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out, as shepherds seek out their flocks when they are among their scattered sheep. So I will seek out my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places to which they have been scattered on the day of clouds and thick darkness. I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them into their own land, and I will feed them on the mountains of Israel by the watercourses and in all the inhabited parts of the land. I will feed them with good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel shall be their pasture. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and they shall feed on rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek the lost, I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak. But the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them with justice. And then let us turn to the New Testament, to the Gospel of Matthew. It's the lectionary reading for this Sunday, Matthew 25. I'm reading beginning at verse 31. This is the story of the Son of Man returning in glory, the story of a God who comes in glory to judge the living and the dead. And it has been called by almost every commentary a separation story. Verse 31, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people from one another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you? And the king will answer them, truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who were members of my family, you did it to me. Then he will say to those at his left hand, you that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. And sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they will also answer, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you? Then he will answer them, truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Let us pray. O Lord, as the song reminded us this morning, you are good. You are a good God, and you will never let us down. And so, O Lord, this morning, as we hear this story from Matthew 25, help us to believe in you as the King of glory. Help us to believe in you as much as you believe in us. In Christ's name, amen. I begin with a story this morning. You can look it up on the internet. It's a story that's called the Selected Attention Test is the proper name. Selected Attention Test. The test comes in a video. There are two teams in the video. One team wears white shirts. The other team wears dark shirts. And to test your ability to concentrate in this particular test, your job is to pick one of the teams and count how many times the members of your team, either white shirts or dark shirt team, how many times they pass the ball to one another. The instructions in the test say, ignore everything else. Just count how many times your team passes the ball to one another. And then if you followed the white shirts, you're asked how many times did they pass the ball. And if you followed the dark shirts, how many times did they pass the ball? Now, the team members run around very quickly, and they pass the ball very fast. And so you have to really, really watch. One, two, three, four, five. They're everywhere on this stage. And finally, the question comes. You're asked how many times your team passed the ball. And then you're asked this second question, did you see the gorilla? And most people are so focused on the assignment of counting the times the ball is thrown, they say, what? What, a gorilla? And yes, that's the real question on the test. And so you go back and you watch the video again. And sure enough, halfway through the video, a guy in a gorilla suit strolls across the stage. And there he is. And you see him because this time, you're looking for him. You think it's a different video. Who could miss that? A gorilla walking across a stage. But almost everyone who takes the test the first time, they miss the gorilla. And what we learn from this test is that what we focus on usually determines what we see. What we are looking at often. It blinds us to everything else that might be happening because we're so focused. What we see are usually the things that we expect to see. What we actually see, how we see, is often colored in life, is affected, filtered by so many variables, like our biases and our perceptions and our human limitations. But here's the application for this particular passage this morning. Jesus cares very much how we see. That's clearly pointed out in this particular parable. Did you notice the wording in the parable? Lord, when was it we saw you hungry or thirsty? When was it we saw you a stranger or naked or sick or in prison? And this Jesus, you see, he's always trying to help us to see better, to see God's plan for our life, God's ways, God's purposes. And so many times we cannot know and we cannot see the purposes of God. But we know God believes in us. We know God is good. And oftentimes, without being able to see, we have to trust and we have to move forward in a step of faith or a leap of faith. That often happens. But I do believe that, in fact, Jesus wants us to learn how to see very clearly so we can work with God on healing the fractures that exist in our world. And then moving our lives and moving our world closer to what God intends for us. And notice that through all of Jesus' teachings, we learn to see what living in sync with God looks like. God tells us, if you're to live like I want you to live, then you will be the salt. You will be the light of the world. If you live like I want you to live, you will learn how to love and how to forgive. You will learn that you reap what you sow. You will learn to spread peace and hope and justice and joy in the world. And as we learn in Matthew 25, we are for sure called to focus, to see a certain segment in society. The poor, the lame, the hungry, the naked, the stranger, and the prisoner, and the angels on the Bethel tree and the hemp tree, right? We are to make a difference in people's lives, not just assume that we alone are God's treasured, chosen people. We learn that clearly in the Ezekiel passage as well. We are here to mend the fractures of the world a day at a time and an act at a time for as long as it takes, so that the lonely are not alone, the poor are not without help, and where the cry of the vulnerable is heeded. As one Christian mystic so long ago put it, because this is God's world and we are God's people, someone else's physical needs are my spiritual obligation. Or as Rosalind Carter once put it, do what you can do to show you care about other people, and you will make the world a better place. And she's right. And the choice, by the way, here in this passage is never between faith and works. It is always our works that faithfully express who we are and what we believe. But notice those who inherit the kingdom of heaven in the passage, they don't do it to earn a right into that kingdom. As a matter of fact, they're puzzled because when they learn that they have helped in clothing the naked and feeding the hungry, they say, Lord, when did we do this? It's just what they did all the time. Jesus is trying. He is teaching us, teaching after teaching in the gospel stories, especially in Matthew 25, to help us to learn how to see others. And works and faith are never separate. In writing about this great passage, Matthew 25, one of my preaching professors, Tom Long, he writes that all through Matthew, if you notice, Jesus has been the great teacher. That's who he is in the Gospel of Matthew, the great teacher. And this last parable, it is Jesus' final teaching. It's the cumulative moment in his teaching history, his teaching ministry. This is his parting story to us. This passage starts out, when the Son of Man comes in glory. Now notice with me, the Son of Man, that's the term that's used very, very often for Jesus. This is the same Jesus who at the very beginning of Matthew's gospel that we'll get into in Advent, he was born to Joseph and Mary, and he was surrounded by great mystery, great suspicion, and he had to flee to Egypt with his parents in order to get away from Herod. This is the same Jesus that we learn about in Matthew, who said, the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. This is the same Jesus who was rejected by the people in his own hometown. And now we learn in Matthew 25, all the nations are gathered around him, and he has returned to judge as the King of kings and the Lord of lords. It's the same Jesus. And then here today we have this Jesus, his final teaching about this coming day of judgment. And what does he separate? He separates all people into what is called here the sheep and the goats. Make no mistake about it, this story reminds its hearers, just as the Apostles' Creed and the Nicene Creed and the confessions of the Reformed Church do, they teach that that Jesus will come again to judge the living and the dead. You can count on it. He will return as the King of glory, and there will be a day of judgment, a day of separation. Sheep on the right, goats on his left. Now notice, nowhere in the passage does it say there's a middle ground. There are no hybrids. There are no shoats or geep, in other words, just sheep and goats. All the masks one day will come off. All truth comes out eventually. There is no more pretending. There is no more play acting. Sheep are revealed as sheep and goats are revealed as goats. And we know from living in this world, even now, oftentimes it's hard to tell who is who. But it will be then. It will be disclosed. And it will make a difference which one you are, because the destinations are very different. For the sheep, the news is good. They inherit the kingdom of heaven because they cared for the Son of Man. As for the goats, they are condemned and cast into the outer darkness for what they did not do. But note with me that this is not just a morality story. There are a lot of religious reality stories in a lot of the different world religions that say you better be good, you better watch out if you want to go to the good place and receive life. And they also say if you do not do good, you will be cast aside. That's a familiar religious truth found in lots of places. But one of the most powerful points in this story, and there are a lot of points, I wish we had more time this morning to cover them, but one of the powerful points is just like that concentration test. Neither the sheep in helping and loving and serving saw Jesus in their midst, nor did the goats see Jesus in their midst. They had no clue they were rejecting and didn't see Jesus. Both groups are puzzled in the story. Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry? When was it that we saw you naked or in need? And so here's another good takeaway. Because Jesus is everywhere present in the world, we are always to act with compassion and care because Jesus is everywhere present. You never know when you will encounter him. And I would argue it's every day in the face of others that you see. When human beings choose to act with justice and generosity and kindness, then learning and love and decency prevail. Friends, these are very challenging days that we live in this world. And Jesus keeps trying. He keeps trying, even though his delay in returning has been delayed for many years. He still keeps trying to help us to learn how to see, to learn how to live, and to learn how to love, and to serve as God's treasured, chosen people. Let us then prepare and be ready for that day when the Son of Man will come in his glory, and all the angels will be with him. And then he will sit down on the throne of his glory, and all the nations will be gathered before him. And he will separate people, one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. Let us pray. O holy God, this day we pray as we finish this season of Pentecost and enter Advent and celebrate your coming. We pray that you will fill our hearts anew with your Spirit And like that ancient prayer of forgiveness, we always pray for you to forgive us for what we have done and what we have failed to do and left undone. Help us to do more, we pray. Shape us in the ways of courage and commitment, and give us new eyes to see in order to be in sync with your grand promises for us and the world you came to say. Help us to follow you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.